It's time for CBB 365 with your hosts, Adam Hipsky and Patrick Dallahan.
All right, so week three of college basketball definitely did not disappoint. We had a lot of awesome games that we're going to go over, and we have a lot of awesome games coming up in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, this past week was the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and we had some of the Big 12 Big East Challenge games. But headlining this past week was number three Iowa taking on number 13 UNC at the time, and Iowa just didn't miss a beat that game.
Yeah, Iowa looks like they're going to be one of the best offensive teams in the nation this year. And you already knew, obviously, you've got Luka Garza coming back. And then, you know, you bring back Jordan Bohannon from injury and then add that with Joe Wieskamp. You knew this team was going to be really good offensively. Mm-hmm. It was just a matter of can they score enough to outscore their opponents. So I know that sounds cliche because obviously the point of basketball is to outscore your opponent. But, you know, the problem with Iowa is their defense. Can they get it done on the defensive side? And in previous years, you know, we really haven't seen much that would show that they would be a good defensive team this year. And that's what hurts them when you look at rankings that are more analytically based, like KenPom rankings and some other ones out there. That hurts Iowa just because of their defensive efficiency isn't near what a lot of other teams are. So Iowa looked good right off the bat. They're 4-0. They've got a great game this Saturday that we'll talk about against number one Gonzaga. That's a top three matchup. And, you know, we looked at Gonzaga-Baylor. That's number one versus number two. But this unless that Gonzaga-Baylor game gets rescheduled, this will be the only top three game we'll have. So, obviously, that will be a must-watch on Saturday. Neutral site in South Dakota. Something to keep your eye on there. We saw the crossover classic there earlier this season. And then we will see Iowa Gonzaga there.
That means analog clocks.
Yes, analog clock watch.
Yes, analog clock.
Does Jalen Hands know how to read an analog clock? Find out this Saturday in Gonzaga versus Iowa.
I feel like you meant Jalen Suggs.
Oh, yeah, Jalen Suggs. Did I say Jalen Hands?
You did.
Oh, that's former UCLA point guard Jalen Hands.
Yeah, we all know who he is.
But yeah, I mean, this Saturday, or going back to Iowa, UNC, Iowa looks really good. UNC, I think, is a good team, and I think they'll get there.
They jumped out of the gates in the second half, like really hot. But I think that's where Iowa's lack of defensive ability really shined because they had they went on like a 9-0 run to start the second half of that game.
And the other thing is UNC is so inexperienced. You know, you have Garrison Brooks, obviously, who's one of the best players in college basketball. But you look at them compared to Iowa, you know, Luka Garza, senior. You've got Jordan Bohannon, who's been out there for 3-4 years. You know, you've got Joe Wieskamp, who's been there for a couple years. All these guys have experience for Iowa. And definitely a lot more than North Carolina. So I think it was kind of clear that you'd see that this game may go Iowa's direction just because of, you know, how important experience is in college basketball. Mm-hmm. But UNC lost. It was a 13-point loss. I think they'll get there. I think they've got talent. But they need to get Anthony Harris back from injury and then give the freshmen some experience. And they'll be just fine. I still think they're a top. Right there in the top of the mix for the ACC. But we got a good game against Ohio State on Saturday. That'll be a top 25 matchup. I think that'll be another good evaluation to see where they're at. So
one thing
UNC, I think they'll get there.
One thing I got to give UNC credit for is their ability to contain Luka Garza. Armando Bacot and Garrison Brooks both did a very good job containing him in the first half, and in the second half, towards the end of the game, Luka Garza sort of got unleashed, but they only held him to, I want to say, 6 points in the first half, which is incredible considering that he's been putting up 20, 30 points in the first half of every other game. Granted, not against Power 5 teams like UNC, but still, 30 points is 30 points, and when you're able to hold a guy that puts up 30 points a half to six, it's really impressive. So good on the UNC big guys for that performance.
Yeah, but the thing is with Iowa is their offense just has so many weapons.
Yeah, you know, like we saw Jordan Bohannon explode for more than 20 points that game. And
yeah, and they're so far their season, they've put up 97. They put up over 90 points in every game. Okay, mm-hmm. And obviously when you have Luka Garza leading it, you know, that helps. But to add so many shooters around him, it's a well-rounded, high-powered offense. And Gonzaga, it's going to be tough for Gonzaga to stop him. This will definitely be Gonzaga's toughest test yet, definitely on the defensive side. I'm guessing a high-scoring battle in this one. We saw Gonzaga not look the sharpest defensively early mm-hmm. in the season either, giving up 90 to Kansas, 82 to West Virginia. So. I think this will be a high-scoring battle, but Iowa looks good on offense. Yeah, so,
I agree.
It'll be a great game, especially Gonzaga. Another thing to watch for is Gonzaga coming off a 2-week break. This is our first game since they got put into quarantine after that. After they canceled Baylor, that Baylor game on December 5th, they've missed 5 games since then that were supposed to be played. Now were they big games? No, not at all. But they got home. They stayed home after being on the road so much so early in the season, after playing so many neutral site games. But they got home. I'd expect them to be well rested. I don't think.
I think that they could come out a little bit slow, though, due to the fact that they haven't really been able to practice because they've been in quarantine. So yeah, that's something another thing to keep their eye on, too, because you see NFL teams come out of a bye week, they either look really sharp or they look really, really sluggish.
Yeah, they're going to have one practice, and that's on Friday, I believe,
yeah.
before the game. And Iowa's a noon game. There's no chance for an early morning walkthrough or a shoot around, you know, 12 o'clock. You know, I'm sure they'll get shots up early in the morning, but it's not a typical pregame routine that you would see for a 7-5 mm-hmm. game. So right off the bat, Gonzaga's going to be challenged with a tough test. So that'll be a great game.
Yeah, and moving on, we saw Duke play a very good Illinois team and, quite frankly, got dominated at home.
Yeah, I mean, Illinois, who split the week, you know, we weren't really expecting them to lose that game on Saturday night, going to Columbia and losing to Missouri. We really expected that, but after playing so well against Duke, beating them by 15, you know, I did not expect them to – Missouri looks good. So
yeah, they do.
You know, not taking anything away from their early season performance, but I did not expect Iowa, who was ranked in the top 5, to come in there and lose to Missouri. You know, Missouri's got a lot of guys that have stepped up early in the
Xavier,
year.
So. Xavier Pinson being the real catalyst for that Missouri
Pinson,
team.
Drew Smith, Javon Pickett, you know, all of them have just looked really well so far in the early going, but. Illinois Duke. I mean, Illinois just looked, and that was the thing that we were talking about was, you know, can Kofi Coburn stay out of foul trouble? He did so in the Duke game. Ayo Dosunmu played well. Adam Miller hit a couple shots. The other guy that stepped up that was really big for them, true freshman Andre Curbelo. We hadn't really seen much from him. 4-star recruit. We watched him play. Really well, put up double digits mm-hmm. at Cameron Indoor. So Illinois, now this is another team that it's really hard to gauge where they're at. They don't really have another tough test for about another week, but until they go on the road and play Rutgers. But obviously we'll see plenty of good games for them in the Big Ten Conference slate.
I just don't think they're that good.
Really? I was going to say they manhandled Duke, but Duke stinks.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's like the one big game, and how big was it if Duke really is a fringe top 25 team at this point? So, look, Dosunmu's good. I'm not discrediting that. I think Coburn can be good beyond that. Maybe they get something out of Curbelo. Maybe they get something out of Miller. Maybe they don't.
I mean,
they're so shallow.
That's one thing I will agree with. They don't have much too much depth. They're not like the Gonzagas.
They don't, and they played. I think they really did not play well against Baylor. And you have those games. I think Baylor played really well in that game at Bankers Life. But Kofi Coburn obviously played less than 20 minutes that game. Ayo Dosunmu didn't shoot the ball very well. And I agree, they are shallow. They don't have a lot of depth. But they're going to need – I think they're going to have steps up. I think guys are going to take steps up.
I just think the one game where they really got pummeled, where they lost by a wide margin, was the game that Dosunmu didn't play well. Like,
Kofi Coburn didn't play at all.
Him and Coburn. I mean, Coburn didn't play well either. So
he played just about 20 minutes because he had four fouls. So
when you take away those two guys, obviously you're not saying that they took away Ayo because he was out. I mean, it was just because he didn't play well. But obviously when you have, you know, one of your best guys on the bench, one of the best big men in college basketball on the bench, and Ayo Dosunmu is not hitting shots that he typically hits, obviously you're not going to look as good. But Missouri, I don't know what happened. I mean, Missouri looks really well.
They look awesome, Missouri, because they've already beaten a good team in Oregon.
Yeah, so I mean, Missouri's 5-0. So I mean, beating Illinois early, beating Oregon early, they're gonna roll into a not typical weak SEC this year.
I mean, yep,
the SEC is not good.
No, come on, yeah. Klein and I have both had pretty big swings and a misses so far with our bold takes. I said that Virginia will go undefeated in ACC play. That hasn't happened yet, but I don't think it's going to happen. And Klein said that the SEC is going to send the most teams to the tournament. I don't see that happening either.
Dude, I mean,
I don't think we knew that the SEC was going to be this bad going into the season. Like, I don't think we foresaw Auburn just becoming a complete non-factor.
Or Kentucky, for that matter.
There's some teams that I think have sort of dropped out of the ranks.
And, you know, we were surprised by Kentucky, obviously. You know, that's a shocker.
Yeah.
Auburn, we didn't know that Sharif Cooper, who's one of the best – who's going to be one of the best freshmen in college basketball, we didn't know he was playing, obviously, until the day or two before the college season started. So you look at those. You know, you look at Auburn. You look at Kentucky, who doesn't look good. Florida obviously has a lot going on in that program right now. But you know, the typical teams that you would think would have looked really well. I mean, Tennessee looks good in the early going. They picked up a good win against Cincinnati. But I mean, the SEC just seems weaker this year. Arkansas, Missouri, Georgia. I mean, those are the undefeated teams. Haven't played anyone though, so
yeah,
hard. We'll see during SEC play. I could see.
I think it's safe to say that Missouri is a legit team.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from that. I'm looking at more Georgia, who's 5-0.
Yeah, they haven't played anyone.
Ole Miss, who's 2-0. Vandy's 2-0, but you know, maybe we get something out of LSU. I think Tennessee, Missouri, they look like tournament teams. Kentucky, you know. You could say, oh, Kentucky's still a tournament team. They're 1-4 right now. Their only wins against Morehead State, you know. So,
and that wasn't a particularly like great win. They struggled in that game.
If you take away the name Kentucky and you put any other team that's not obviously
that's not Kentucky
program, yeah, you know, they no one would even think anywhere close that this team would be, you know. Even touching the NCAA tournament, you know, losses at Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, Richmond, Kansas. So, I mean, not saying Richmond and Kansas aren't bad losses or aren't good losses, and Notre Dame and Georgia Tech aren't all right programs, but they're still not even close to a tournament team right now. And they'll play UCLA on Saturday, and then obviously they've got the rivalry game against Louisville the day after Christmas. So, their schedule's not tough, and we heard Coach Kyle say this in his pregame press conferences, talking about this team might struggle early on, lack of experience, maybe a lack of talent, maybe a talent drop off than what we typically see from them. But you know, their non-conference schedule is hard.
Yeah, well, because they obviously didn't expect them to be this bad this year.
I mean, them and Gonzaga. Gonzaga obviously has played a very tough schedule, but Kentucky is just right there. I mean, there's no – other than Morehead State, there's no bad teams on here. You know, they're not – and only – you know, it continues. You've got UCLA, Louisville, and then you roll into to conference play. And it's still – even if SEC has a drop-off, there's still a Power 5 conference, Power 6 conference.
I would just like to share some quotes that were tweeted by Mike Rutherford, Card Chronicle.
Shout out, Mike Rutherford.
Friend of the pod. December 1st, 2020. Kentucky is a no-excuse program, says John Calipari. December 11th, 2020. John Calipari on a Zoom call right now. Veteran teams have a huge advantage this season. Inexperienced teams like Gus are at a big disadvantage.
I mean,
no-excuse program.
There's some truth to that, but it's like, come on, dude. Like, you guys should be killing Georgia Tech.
It's just contradictory because –
yeah, it is.
Because I think that – I mean, I agree that veteran teams do have a step over them right now. But to go from saying it's a no-excuse program to obviously being 1-4 with losses of Georgia Tech and Notre Dame, you know, that's – you know, that kind of says a lot about how, you know – guess parallel those ideas really aren't. So
yeah, it's definitely weird to see a Kentucky team that's bad, a Duke team that isn't that good. Like, you know, those are some of the household names in college basketball, and to see them struggle like this is odd, you know. Yeah. Like, it's definitely not normal.
No, they don't look good at all, and they've got work to do to be a tournament team. And
yeah,
you know, I would say Duke's obviously a few steps above them. They've still got some talent, but dude, Kentucky just has glaring issues. Like, it's just bad. Like, they can't shoot the ball. PJ Boston, who we thought would be a difference maker, he has been non-existent shooting the basketball. I mean, he's drived and he's gotten people involved through assists, through his passing game, but as far as scoring the ball goes, no one has stepped up on this team. Olivier Sarr looked really good. I will say that, sir, I would say one of their few bright spots is Olivier Sarr looked really, really, really good in that game against Notre Dame. Dropped 22-7. So he looked strong. But other than that, there's not really much else to be said about this Kentucky team.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing I have to say is that they're just flat out disappointing. I mean, like, there's no other word to say about it, as you said. Moving on, the other day, Iowa took on Iowa State and pummeled them. Luka Garza had 34 points. Is that right?
Yeah, no, he looked – that was the other thing I was going to say.
He had 6 3-pointers in that game.
Luka Garza in that game just looked incredible. I mean, had 34 points, shot over 90% from the field. And when you're dropping that much off of that little that high of a shooting percentage, 13 from 14, 13 for 14 from the field, 6 for 7 from three. Obviously, you know, incredible. His only miss all day was a 3-pointer, and he still knocked down 6 of them. You know, 6 3-pointers, 6 for 7 is a shooting day that, you know, you look at, you know, your shooters on your team like Jordan Bohannon, Joe Wieskamp, you know,
yeah,
Caffrey, you know, those are guys that you expect to not expect, but you know, you wouldn't be floored by them hitting 6 3-pointers. But Luka Garza looked confident stepping up into a shot a lot more than he did last year, specifically from long range. But I mean, if he's shooting the ball like that, he's gonna be impossible for teams to guard. He doesn't have much of a drive off the dribble like you think of a big man like Mo Wagner had. But, you know, nonetheless, still hard to guard, still hard to get a defensive matchup on Luka Garza, someone that can guard him all the way out on the perimeter, as well as be big enough, be physical enough to grind in the paint. And here's the most impressive thing about this. Dropped 34 points in 17 minutes, okay? Averaged 2 points a minute.
That's so nuts.
Able to get 13 buckets in 17 minutes. I mean, it was a – That's like an all-time college performance, I would say. I mean, to only miss once from the field and have 34 points in 17 minutes, I mean, that's just incredible. It's unheard of. You just don't really see it
ever, especially with someone that totals that many points. You can see a guy have, go 5 for 5 with 10 points in 10 minutes, but you never really see 34 points in 17 minutes. So impressive performance from Luka Garza, and we've talked about Iowa a lot, but they look really good early.
Yeah. Moving on. We saw San Diego State get their second ranked win of the season. They join a list of 3 other teams to have 2 ranked wins this season. Those being Villanova, Gonzaga, and Kansas. I mean, San Diego State looks great. They've looked awesome this year.
They do, and we didn't know what to expect really from them after losing Malachi Flynn last year.
But I mean, after the UCLA win, we said they were going to be good, but we didn't expect them to be this good going out and taking down debatably the best team in the Pac-12.
And doing it on the road too at Arizona State, winning by 12. I mean,
it's obviously not as hard to win there without the curtain of distraction. So.
Absolutely not. But the thing is, though, they're in the Mountain West. I mean, the Mountain West, I mean, you've got Boise State in there. That's good. But a lot of teams in there are definitely beatable for the San Diego State team. And going undefeated in non-conference play shows that this could be another really special season for San Diego State heading into conference play. They haven't – You look at Skakel, I think he could be the guy for them. He's led them in scoring for a majority of the season. But, no Malachi Flynn, who you knew was the guy. He was the guy for them last year. So far, haven't really seen anyone other than Skakel be able to step up. But we'll see. We'll see. I still think that they'll be really, really good.
Yeah.
It'll probably end up being a top 4 seed just because they'll probably roll into the tournament with less than 3 losses, I would expect, in a weak Mountain West. So, no, they're impressive. They're impressive. And a big couple games against BYU and St. Mary's to wrap up their non-conference play.
Yeah, and to wrap up the show, do we want to do our things we liked?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously touched on Missouri early and how good they look, but I'd also just like to show some love to West Virginia. Yep. Just looked wonderful so far early in the season, and they've
a prolific offensive West Virginia team.
Yeah, the one thing Bob Huggins teams have always struggled is actually putting the ball in the basket, and they're good at everything else. And now they're actually putting the ball in the basket, so they could beat anyone when they're playing well like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And their only game that they've lost was that close one to Gonzaga. So only one loss, and that's against the number one team in the country. They look really good. So I would say just a shout-out to them for dominating a top 25 team in Richmond. Also defeated North Texas and Georgetown since I believe we've last talked about them. So they're 6-1 right now. They've got a couple good games. Iowa State, Kansas, which is a top 10 matchup, and then our boy Javon Graves comes to town to West Virginia. So that'll be a good game. And I would just say my one big team. I like to stick to a team or a player here. So I'll go West Virginia, and then another one just to mention it. We didn't really talk about it much today, but obviously Keontae Johnson from Florida. A lot going on in Gainesville right now, so I would say it's not really something you like, but just something that obviously you want to keep your thoughts and prayers out to him and his family.
Yeah, and my thing that I liked actually this week was the University of Florida basketball team, who was able to persevere through Keontae Johnson passing out and fainting while on the court coming out of a timeout, and they were able to tough that out and see one of their brothers fall, like quite literally fall, and they're able to finish that game, and they gave Florida State a very good game. And it's, you never want to see a teammate really ever get hurt like that or have anything tragic happen to them like that, what happened to Keontae Johnson. And it was very impressive that Florida was able to play right through that and play as well as they did.
Absolutely.
And kudos as well to Florida State, who twice gave them the opportunity to pause the game as it stood and reschedule for later if they wanted to. My thing I liked was going to a college basketball game. Syracuse at Boston College. I was there.
Not inside a big deal.
Silvio Oconte Forum, America's premier sporting venue. And
one of few arenas that is used for hockey and basketball on campuses in the NCAA. Little fact.
I mean, it wasn't really a fact. It was one of few. Like, if you gave a number, I think that would make it. If you were like one it of will, six, let's make let, it a fact.
So UMass Lowell.
I don't know. Probably like Minnesota or something.
I know Michigan doesn't because they have the Yost Ice Arena.
Yeah, Yost is tough. No, but yeah. Minnesota plays in the barn. That's not. There's
oh, okay.
Like,
my bad.
Their locker room's like a below ground.
Okay. Anyways. Absolute dismantling of Boston College by the Syracuse Orange, who were lights out from the field. They shot over 55% from three.
Whoa.
In that game.
The return of Buddy Boeheim.
Not necessarily a typical Jim Boeheim coach team stat. But then also Boston College 1-5. They lose by 38 in their opening conference game. They don't play again for 10 days. And I'm hearing some little birdies that Mr. Jim Christian might be on the way out the door.
Oh.
Whoa.
Bombshell.
Yeah, nothing's happened yet, but not to say that, you know, they've got, I think, one or two more games left in the calendar year. There's some chatter.
Yeah. It's sort of like how Jim Harbaugh is on the hot seat every year. But that does it for the week three recap of CBB 365. Enjoy this week's games, everybody.
Now, exciting week, exciting Saturday in college basketball. We had a loaded week three, and this is going to be another loaded week again. We're getting to the end of our non-conference. Conference play is going to get started up, and just enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. I would say stay tuned also for next week's episode because we should have a pretty big guest on that episode.
Oh, yes, we should. Keep a lookout for that. We'll see you guys next week.